In Genesis chapter 1, you don't have to go there, I'll read it for you. It says there, then God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Amen? And that includes mankind. Amen? And the neat thing is, you look at creation, before man was created, God created everything, whatever it is that sustains your life right now, whatever technology exists that makes your life a little bit more comfortable, you owe it to God. Because whatever is what has been. We discover and we use it to our benefit, but the provider is God. You agree with that? Amen. Whatever good you have in life is because of God.
Amen.
And so we are in a debt that we cannot pay, and God doesn't expect us to pay it, but God would say to you and me, I have been loving you since creation with everything that I've created. And then he promised us Jesus Christ, and the saints of old would look unto that promise, and it was fulfilled 2,000 years ago. And you and I look back, and on the name of Jesus Christ, we're saved because he paid the total price for our salvation. So I have reason to be grateful. And then there's a host of other promises, prophetic promises, that ought to make you grateful that you're on this woody side. And in fact, there was a day that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and Eve had that privilege. And a simple commandment was given, right? God says, look, see all these trees, and see all, you can eat of every one of them. But this one, leave this one alone. Don't eat of that. Because if you eat, you're going to surely die. Can I ask a simple question? If I say to you, Pastor Craig, don't eat that mushroom, because if you eat that mushroom, you're going to die of food poisoning. How hard is that to understand? Right? How hard is it to understand of God and his word? Amen? We don't have a problem in understanding. We have a problem in being humble and obedient.
Amen. Yes.
You see, it's not a lack of understanding biblical counsel, it's a lack of submitting to it. And if you go with me to Luke chapter 18, please. And as Pastor Tito said, we have been trying to make a concentration on the family, because that's the first thing that God created. When he created a man and a woman, he created them a family, right? Am I correct in that? I mean, they were the first church members. They were the first family. And they also were the first governors of the world. So in Adam, you've got the three institutions: the family, the church, and government. And the command was simple, not hard to understand. And then what did sin do? What did sin do? Well, ladies, what's it feel like to have a kid?
It's a challenge.
Hello. And then ultimately, you're going to die. Right? Unless Jesus comes first, your body is going to continue to rot. We call it getting old. But it's funny because, let's see, who was it? Somebody asked me how we're doing up here in the north. Are you enjoying the hot weather in Puerto Rico? And I says, well, at least we are being preserved from old age and wrinkles while you're down there in Puerto Rico getting wrinkled and old. So we've got an advantage. Anyways, I don't know how that went over, but I felt good saying it. Now, in Luke 18, if you look at verse 27, and Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
There's a place in Scripture the Bible says that we cannot straighten that which is crooked. And yet the promise, according to prophetic promise, is that God's going to straighten out everything that we have made crooked. Amen? Why? Because God is able to do what you and I cannot. So there's a recuperation of the things that we lost, because certainly Adam and Eve lost. In their simple disobedience to a simple command, they lost the sweetest fellowship that any human being separately or collectively could have ever enjoyed. Can you imagine what marriage would be like today? Can you imagine what any relationship would be today if it weren't for the sinful nature of mankind? We can only imagine. The thing is that what's impossible with us, the Bible says, for all the promises of God in Him, Jesus Christ, are yea. And in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, do we believe that? Certainly, the works of God through the second Adam, talking about Jesus, we have the security of eternal life realized in Him. Amen? If you know you're going to go to heaven, you know for sure it ain't because of anything you have ever done. Amen? I am on my way to heaven in spite of me, because Jesus has promised, He resurrected from the dead, amen, victoriously, because death could not hold Him. And therefore, because He is the second Adam, in the second Adam I trust, and in His forgiveness, in His death, in His burial, in His resurrection, we have the hope secure of eternal life. And now I've got the Holy Ghost in me. Amen. And I can appreciate these things like I did before. But nevertheless, there are still challenges, right? Marriages can be a challenge. How many of you are married? Raise your hand. Now, is your marriage perfect, 100%? Raise your hand. Tell me somebody of a perfect marriage. Nobody raise their hand? Let me just say what a pastor once said. A pastor once said, any man or woman that says they haven't had problems in their marriage, he says somebody's lying. I think it was Paul Burris, like one of those guys. Anyways, if you have a perfect marriage, good. I mean, look, my marriage is perfect because it was God ordained. But you ask my wife if I'm perfect or not, and I don't know what story she'll tell you, but it'll be scary. I guarantee it'll be scary. Now, if you go with me, please, to Proverbs 13. Herein lies in the problem with every relationship. I don't care what it is. But the most important relationship is at home, right? Yeah. If you believe that. If you believe God, He created them male and female. Created He them. And that's why I know that marriage is between a man and a woman. And not between Adam and Steve. It's between a man and a woman. In Proverbs chapter 13, anything else is an abomination.
Amen.
In Proverbs 13, verse 10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Who do you know that is naturally humble from the time they were born?
Jesus.
You and me, we're proud by nature. Yes. You ever see a kid cry because they're angry? Because they're not getting their way? That is the rebellious nature of every human being. Amen? That's it. So you and I work at humility, because it doesn't come natural. Amen? So, and that's the problem in marriages. And it doesn't matter what the truth is, as long as I'm winning the argument. Yeah. And in fact, we are so depraved that we'll take the truth as a weapon of vengeance. The Apostle Paul would say, I preach the truth, not for destruction, but for edification. Mm-hmm. When there's a difference between you and a loved one, how do you use the truth? For edification, or do you use the truth for destruction? You follow the difference, folks? You can be right. But is your heart in the right place with the truth? And there's all kinds of machinations that take place. The provision that Adam and Eve had, we have today. You got the book. You got the Word of God, right? Let's just for the sake of the truth here, let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Amen. I bless God. Someone just approached me here and shared with me how apropos the message was. And only because I am guaranteed that if you're breathing and if you're walking, you're getting under somebody's skin somehow or another. Amen? Sorry to be that, but that's how it is. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, can somebody tell me how complicated that is? Do you need some kind of university education here? How much counseling? You know, I want to tell you something. There's enough counsel in that one verse to make you successful or to destroy yourself with. But it's not hard to understand. If you're having an issue in your relationship at home or anywhere else, it's not a complicated issue. It's the simple reality that you're not obeying the Word of God. You don't need a psychiatrist. You don't need some Christian cycle. You need obedience to humility to the Word of God. You can't get better counsel than God's Word. If you can find better counsel than the Word of God, would you please let me know? I'll close the book and I'll change. I'll switch over. We're all looking for a better deal, aren't we? What destroyed the glorious relationship between Adam and Eve is what destroyed the glorious relationship between man and God. Disobedience. That simple is the matter. Every problem that we suffer in life is rooted in some form of disobedience to this book, bar none. And you know what the worst part about it then? Here God is looking for an account, right? So he goes to Adam first, right? Because Adam got the Word of God before Eve did, right? To whom much is given, much is required. So he goes to Adam. Hey, where are you? Where are you hiding? Well, you know, the woman that you gave me, you really messed up, God. That girl over there, man, she tempted me, man, and that food really looked good. Can you imagine blaming God for your sin? How fresh. How inconsiderate. And then to blame the wife on top of that. So Adam, not accountable. It's your fault, God, for the woman that you gave me. Look at her. She was such an easy prey. You know, Satan went in it. She went ahead and followed Satan over there instead of following your word. You know, and I'm over here, I'm just trying to protect her. So can you imagine? God didn't buy that, did he? God didn't say, you know, Adam, I understand. You know, I could have done better. So you're good. Then she turns around, she's got nothing else but to blame the devil. And I don't think God bought that excuse either. And to this day, you ladies are having some nasty childbirth. And to this day, you got to work hard. You got to sweat it out. To this day, you're getting sick. To this day, you're getting older. And if it weren't for Jesus, there'd be no hope at all for anything or anyone. Amen. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Bless God for his glory and his goodness. Amen. The fact is that they were provoked. The fact is Satan is will provoke. The fact is that Satan will lie. He'll try to tempt you. And we can fall prey to that, or we can do what Jesus said. Oh, well, you know, God has said this, God has said that. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Where does that, work? It certainly does. Amen. God did not justify any one of them with any of their excuses. Had it not been for the fact that God provided himself a sacrifice, we would be totally without hope. Because God did not make an excuse for our sin. He made a provision for the sin. You understand what I'm saying? He provided himself in Jesus Christ. Now, with that being foundational, as we talk about family and as we try to strengthen the family, ladies, look at the power of your role in Ephesians chapter 5, please. The power of your role. If you remember the last weeks, we've talked about how we need to be related. I think verse 21 here says, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Amen. What a beautiful thing to be submitted to one another, because that conduces for sweet fellowship, and that gives itself also as we submit to one another. When you have a need and when I have a need, we know each other and we can be helpful to each other. Amen. One thing is to criticize and point the finger, and it's another to put yourself in a position where you can help a weaker brother. Anybody can criticize. Amen? And that is so simple, and that is so easy. But to go along a brother, hey, you got a fault here, you got a problem there. Can I help you? Can I be there with you? Let me pray with you. Let me pray for you. Let's pray together. You build your relationships in the sweetness of the fellowship of Jesus. Amen. And Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Let me ask you a question. Where do these verses come from? From the Apostle Paul or from the Holy Ghost? Are these the words of God or not? Amen. Is Jesus Christ your Lord as much as he is your Savior? The Lordship of Jesus will determine to what degree you will obey these verses. Eve was provoked by Satan himself. It wasn't even Adam. Right? She had a choice to make. I want to do what God says, or I'm going to go along with the provocation and sin against God. I mean, it wasn't even Adam that provoked her. It was Satan himself. And God didn't justify it. Because the excuse is, you don't know my husband. Well, you don't know yourself. You're a sinner too. Wife. Amen? How can we justify before the Lord? He won't buy my excuse. Regardless of the provocation, the commandment comes from God, not from the husband, not from the wife, not from another man. It comes from God Almighty. When you got saved, you didn't get saved because your husband died for you. You didn't get saved because your wife died in your place. You got saved because the perfect Son of God died in your place, and you owe him the obedience. Amen. You want independence, ladies? Do it God's way and not the way of the world. Where does this command come from? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Well, you might say, well, my husband is not like the Lord. The commandment is there for you. The Bible tells us, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. So, my job is to submit myself to the people in government until they break God's command. As a for instance, if you go to Acts chapter 5, let's go to Acts chapter 5. How many of you know the story of Bonnie and Clyde? How many don't know Bonnie and Clyde? If you don't know Bonnie and Clyde, you never heard of Bonnie and Clyde?
I've heard of them, but I don't know
you've
the story.
Heard of them. All right. Well, it'll come into play here. First of all, let's go to Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, and we'll read a scripture here together. It says there, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, Acts 5:29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Right? Mm-hmm. So, Bonnie and Clyde were this notoriously evil couple, husband and wife. I don't know if they were married or not, but they were a couple. And they terrorized the United States, robbing banks and killing people. I mean, there were murders. And she was no better than he was. All right? Now, so if I should tell my wife, honey, for the sake of our financial benefit, I want you to hold up the bank and steal the money. Should my wife be submitted to that?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But when it says in everything, if it's not contradictory to the word of God, women, find a way to submit to your husband and do it. Because that's what the Bible says. Didn't ask if you feel like it. If you're going to be submitted to God, you're going to do it. Are you with me, folks? Because today, the fact of the matter is that a lot of ladies that call themselves believers are not that much different than the women of the world today, the liberals. They respond with defiance, with lack of respect. They don't really honor the paradigm established in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's go over this paradigm, folks, together. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, it doesn't mean you got to like it. It just means that that's the way God set it up, and you need to honor that. Amen? That's how it is. That's the paradigm, and it is supposed to be respected and honored. Now, like Eve, she justified herself because of an exterior provocation. Adam justified himself because of the provocation of his wife, and none of it is legitimate. Had Eve maintained her attention on her Lord, she would have been a person to highly minimize and maybe even been instrumental in the salvation of her husband. And why do I say that? Because God told Abraham, before he called him out, God said to Abraham, I am going to be your shield and your great reward. Abram had that promise from God. So he finds himself in a bad position. And lo and behold, he takes his wife, the weaker vessel, and uses her as a shield, putting her in harm's way to protect himself. And you know what she does? She obeys her husband. And you know what God does? God saves him because of her obedience to her husband. That's an awesome story. You know why Moses turned out to be the way he turned out? Because of a mother of faith. You know why Timothy turned out to be the man that God wanted him to be? The utility? Because of his grandmother and his mom, godly women. You know why Samuel became the first man to be called a priest and a prophet at the same time? Because of a mother like Hannah. Some of the greatest people you can talk about and read about are women in the Bible that have everything to do with the success of a man. But if you're going to dishonor God by dishonoring your husband, don't think you can honor God in so doing. Amen, amen, amen. Say amen if you agree with God.
Amen. Amen.
To be carnal, to be rebellious, to be defiant, to fight, that's not within the will of God. And I know it ain't easy. But the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, it's impossible with men. But it is possible with God.
Amen.
We can reconstruct. If you look at Ephesians 5:23, where the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. You know what's amazing about that scripture? As I was thinking about this, wow. You know, wife, woman, lady, girl, do you know that your greatest role in life is to represent what the church ought to be like? The marriage is a vehicle by which you, as a woman, can represent what the church ought to be with Jesus. Your role as a married woman is primarily to illustrate the role of the church in their relationship with Christ. Isn't that amazing? To have a purpose greater than yourself, greater than your husband, greater than your children. The number one purpose that a married woman can have is to demonstrate what a church ought to be like when it comes to the relationship with Christ. That is amazing. What's my purpose in life? Well, there's one of them. It's pretty awesome. If it means anything, it certainly seems to me that it does. Now, there's a lot more to say to you guys as men. There's a lot more for us that we would start here. Amen. Sometimes you got to save the best for the last, if you will. There's a lot more here for us than there is for the ladies, but I thought I would start with that. Verse 23, for the husband is the wife, is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. You know, you and I have eternal security because Jesus is the head of this body, amen?
Amen.
The church. Mm-hmm. And if we as men can only offer our wives the security that they need, spiritually, emotionally, and physically, maybe our wives would be different. I'm not in any way justifying any rebellion against God, because you got saved with Jesus, not with your husband, mm-hmm. and you owe it to God to live this life. Mm-hmm. But I understand provocation. I understand disillusion. I understand the frailty of the human flesh. And I understand that sometimes we put so much on others for our own success that it's quite frankly, it's even unfair. Jesus should be enough motivation to be what we are called to do. Amen? Without exception. But I would be lying if I didn't think that a bad influence could be a provocation for thinking and doing wrong. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm not looking to make excuses. I'm just saying these are the facts that we owe to God what we ought to be. Amen. We owe to Him. If you say, you don't know what my husband is like, well, I don't know that that will justify you, because God didn't justify Eve and He didn't justify Adam. We all have a particular responsibility independent of anything else created. Your role, women, is to be a helpmate. That's your number one role. Careers and all that stuff, I'm not going to argue, nothing is unclean of itself. But your number one role, women, is to be the best wife you can be. Not for the sake of your husband, but for the glory of God first. And whoever glorifies God, the fallout of that initiative is that your husband and your children will be blessed. Just read Proverbs chapter 31, the virtuous woman. Everybody honored and glorified that woman because of the benefit that she was, because of her godly relationship with her Lord and Savior. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Let the benefit of your family be based on the benefit of your relationship with Jesus Christ. And everybody gets the fallouts in a very positive and glorious manner. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, these things can be said for anyone that's saved. That we want to hone in specifically on our ladies first as we move forward in our discussion about the family and the home. Sin is very provocative. Sin can bring a lot of disillusion to our lives, but at the same time, Jesus really is our sufficiency. The Bible says we are complete in Him. We should find ourselves in that place. Salvation is personal, it's individual, and we all have a solution. We've got it right here.
Amen.
We've got an answer on how to be. And here's one thing I know to guarantee. You do what God wants you to do, regardless of what's done to you. If you don't render evil for evil, you're going to be blessed. You're going to grow. You're going to be more influential. And influence is more powerful than words. And when you take the right words with the right influence and you put it together in whatever role you're playing and wherever you're at, I guarantee you that you will honor God and you'll make your own lot in life a lot more manageable, because then God will fight for you instead of you fighting for yourself. So who will give you the best victory? Jesus Christ, or any fleshly reaction? Where do you think the victory really lies? Ladies, can we take God's counsel? It's simple. Simple to understand. You say it's hard to perform. No, it's impossible. But I can do all things through Christ with strength. That's the promise of your living Savior. Let's pray.